Well, Willie's going to come and speak to us about the call of God to service, and he's going to speak to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Let me just set some context before Willie comes and speaks to us. But back in the 90s, Willie and Angela, with their one-year-old daughter, went to serve the Lord among the Lavalli tribe in a place called Chavuma in northwest Zambia. Willie was the only doctor in a small bush mission hospital. Angela helped teach in the schools, and Willie also taught the Bible. So Willie will be talking about some of the biblical principles regarding the call of God that they found helpful at the time in their decision to serve the Lord. So let me just read the scripture passage. And I think for the sake of time, I was going to sing, but I think we'll probably not sing just for the sake of time. And my apologies to Willie, things have run on a little bit longer. But we'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, and then Willie will come up and give us his message. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I will give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Amen. This is God's word. I'll now invite Willie to come up. Thank you, Willie.
Thank you for everyone who has contributed. I thought it might be helpful for us tonight to think about the whole idea of the possibility of any of us being called by God to cross-cultural service, perhaps even in a long-term capacity. We've listened to a lot of information today from our mission partners from all over the world describing the Lord's work. And of course we had the Great Commission read to us this morning, the words of our Lord Jesus to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And of course the Lord Jesus also said on another occasion, lift up your eyes. Lift them up and look on the fields, because they're white unto harvest. And the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest field. So, I mean, how would I know? How would we know if this was something that the Lord would have us to do? And how could we be sure about that? And what is this whole idea anyway about the call of God to special service? Well, what I want to do tonight is I want to just make some general points, first of all, and then look at some of the principles that I have found helpful from the verses that we've had read to us, and also some in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians as well. So, a couple of general points. Number one, this whole idea of the call of God, it's not something that is mystical. You know, I think we can get the impression that we have to wait until it's almost as if we're kind of struck by a lightning bolt, and there's a direct voice from heaven and a big sign that seems to be absolutely obvious. And I don't think it's like that at all. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate things and we make it overly mystical. I think you've probably heard me tell this one before about the chap who went to the elders of the church, and he said he felt God's call, and they asked him why he felt that. And you know, he said, out in the fields thinking about it, looked up in the sky and the clouds seemed to kind of form in a particular configuration, and it looked like a P and a C, and you know, he felt that that meant preach Christ, and so he should do that, until one of the guys said maybe it meant plant cabbages, and that kind of flummoxed him a bit. Or the other chap who felt that the way to do it was just to kind of open his Bible at random, which he did to get God's guidance on something, and the passage that his finger reached was that one about and Judas went and hanged himself. So he thought, well, that can't be right. So he thought he'd have another go, and it was the end of the parable of the good Samaritan, the conclusion, the punchline, which was, go thou and do likewise. So he also was a bit flummoxed. And I don't think that these kind of dramatic things are necessarily helpful. In fact, I think if we try that, then we will end up being kind of paralyzed, and we'll end up not doing anything at all. On the contrary, I'm very much persuaded of the approach that the book of Proverbs teaches, which is this: whatever your hand finds to do, do that with all your might. So wherever you find yourself, whatever situation, whatever it is that you have right in front of your face, get stuck in, get involved, do that with all your heart for the Lord, and things may well develop from there. So that's number one. It's not a mystical thing. Number two, God's will for all of us is actually very clear. And we could turn to a number of scriptures actually tonight that talk about God's will for us. And what we learn is that God's will for me is not so much a geographical thing, but it is a moral thing and a spiritual thing. So, for instance, we could turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, which says this: this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And there are a number of other verses like that. And the point again is that by living for the Lord in the way that he wants us to do, then things will become clearer for us. It's who I am and what I am that is actually more important to the Lord than where I am. Point number three: God puts desires into our hearts. Now, point's already been made today, and I'm not negating it, that it is often part of following our Lord Jesus Christ that difficulty and sacrifice are involved in that. But it's not like necessarily following the Lord is meant to be absolutely bleak and harrowing, you know? That the Lord puts desires into our hearts, burdens that are there, things that we love. I mean, Emma mentioned that, didn't she, when she was speaking about her work in Moldova. And so that in itself may well be helpful in leading you forward for the Lord. Point number four, this is the final of the general points. We need to be sensible. Just sensible, not silly. Use our spiritual faculties as we grow and develop as Christians. Ask sensible questions. Am I suited to this? What do other people who I respect say about my suitability for this? I can remember on one occasion we were invited to go to a particular place and live and serve there. And I said to the chap at the time, I said, you know, I'm not so sure. Previously, when we've gone somewhere else, things did seem very kind of clear and direct. And, you know, he said a very wise thing I've never forgotten. He said, you know, sometimes when we're younger in the faith, the Lord does make things kind of clear for us in a more unusual way. But as we grow and develop, he does expect us just to use our spiritual common sense and faculties to make decisions for him. And so some things that can help you to do that, some of the things we've heard about tonight, going on a short-term mission trip, corresponding with somebody, giving financially to a work, some preparatory work, the missionary training academy, for instance, that goes on locally, training and handling the scriptures, reading biographies. I found that personally very helpful and challenging. So these are some of the principles, basically, that I think are useful. Now, just to come briefly to some of the things in our passage from tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to start with. And I've chosen this as personally, all those years ago, and I can still remember it vividly, all these years ago, this was especially helpful to me. You know, a burden had been placed on our heart to serve the Lord, both for Angela and myself, and I think that's an important thing, that in a marriage both of you actually feel the same way. I had, like Jonathan, gone on a medical elective to the place where we ended up going for a number of years. We had been thinking a lot about it. And in that connection, a verse from this passage came with real force to me at that time. And the verses were verses 10 and 11. So we're thinking about this. We're praying about it. It's on our heart. And then this verse, and in this matter, it's almost as if the Lord's speaking right to you. And in this matter, I give my judgment. Here's my opinion. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Now, I thought, well, I don't know if it's a good idea just to take a verse in isolation, out of its context, because you can make some verses say anything you want. I really need to go back to this chapter and find out, what is this actually saying? Is it saying what I think it's saying? And so I went back and started to read the whole of the chapter. And I found, of course, that it's all about financial generosity that the Corinthian church might potentially help out the poor in Judea. But although that is the main point, it is about more than that. And so, for instance, point number one, and this is from verse 5, it was actually about them giving themselves to God first, before they gave their money to God and God's work. See that? This was not as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So what Paul is saying to the Corinthians, he's showing them the example of the Macedonian churches. And he's trying to hold up the reality, the genuineness of their response with the reality of the Macedonians. This is what they did. Paul was taken aback. They didn't do what they expected. They gave themselves first. And so fundamentally, this passage is about giving ourselves to God. And then secondly, Not only does he give or hold out the example of the Macedonians, but he also gives here the example of the Lord Jesus. I mean, this again is about financial giving, but look at the example of Christ as part of his argument. Verse 9. He says, well, you know about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty, that we might become rich. And it's a bigger thing that's being talked about as we look at the example of Christ. Christ gave himself. And so the application is for us to consider that kind of approach to his example, never mind the example of the Macedonian churches. And so he says to them, of course, you need to follow through. You may well have had a desire that might have been in your mind a year ago, verse 10. But here's the rub. You know, finish the work. Complete it. May your readiness in desiring it be matched by your completing it out of what you have. And so that came, you know, even more forcibly actually to me now, after having read the whole passage rather than just these two initial verses. This whole topic is actually continued right into chapter 9. And I'd like to just point out a couple of the principles there as well. If you look down at chapter 9, verse 6, and he talks there about the principle of sowing and reaping. He says there's a principle in play here. He says the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a principle for life. I mean, financially, yeah. But also as far as giving ourselves to the Lord's work is concerned. It's true. If we only, and we know this, of course, happens in real life. Farmers here tonight. If you just put a few seeds in the ground, you know, you can't expect a bumper harvest. And that's true in the spiritual life as well. Whatever we sow, if we sow bountifully, we can reap bountifully. But if we only sow sparingly, don't expect to reap too much. And so there is a spiritual principle for us all to consider. Second principle from the next verse. God doesn't want us to feel under duress. This is to be something that's joyful. So he says here in verse number 7, each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, so it's not saying, my, here I am, I've got to give all this, what a burden this is upon me, you know, what a sacrifice I'm making. He says, no, you shouldn't feel under any pressure. You know, not any compulsion. You do it from your heart and you do it with joy because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Third thing. What about when I feel very inadequate? What about the situation when I look at the situation and it actually seems completely beyond me? You don't feel at all qualified. You don't feel at all up to the task. Well, this is most reassuring. Verse number 8. And God is able. God is able. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, So if you feel, I could never do that. I could never do what Kirsty does. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I mean, you can't get a more comprehensive way, I don't think, of actually stating that God is able to help even the weakest of us. God is able to give you sufficient. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And the kind of final point is this. A question, I suppose, which is answered in verses 12 to 14. And it's this. Is it worth it? Is it worth it giving ourselves, responding to the need that's there? Well, it's not just helping fellow believers. It's not just helping people in need. It is actually, in doing this, an expression of your worship and praise to God Himself. See that down in verse number 12? For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the need of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. And it actually, because they benefit from it, it actually causes those who receive it to give their worship to God as well. Verse 13. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And in fact, there's another rather touching point here, just at the end, and it's this. It says, because of your contribution for them, verse 14, they will long for you, their hearts will go out to you, and they will pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. What a touching thing. That because of your involvement in other people's lives, it's worship to God, it causes them to praise God, and they even give thanks for you, and their hearts go out to you in all of that. What a wonderful thing this is. And the conclusion, actually, of this chapter is so appropriate. Yes, these chapters are about helping financially. It's about giving, but it's about giving in a way that is much more than just cash. It's giving ourselves first and foremost, which is what God Himself did, verse number 15, in His inexpressible gift of His Son. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible, indescribable gift to us. And with that, helping, giving us perspective, we look at what He expects of us. And so, you know, at that time, way back all these years ago, rather than just having a couple of verses out of context, powerful although they were at the time, I found I had an even more powerful impression being made on my heart that compelled us really to respond to the needs of the people in Northwest Zambia. Now, that's only part of our story, of course. The story changed. Our area of service changed from a bush hospital to here in Aberdeen. That's maybe another story for another day. But hopefully what has been said tonight will be helpful for all of us in considering the possibility that God may call us to serve him in a particular way. Of course, we should all be serving wherever we are, but in light of the things that we've learned today and spoken about today, maybe these principles will help somebody, maybe some younger person here today, to consider that God might be placing on your heart a burden to serve him in a cross-cultural setting. I hope that's been of some use. Happy to chat if that's helpful later on. Thanks, Kevin.